Welcome to Progzilla Radio One and All. My name is Erin Bennett of the band Ebb. Over the next few months, my bandmates and I will be bringing you a series of podcasts to talk about our love of prog music and events throughout our lives which have shaped our experience of what we call prog. This month, it is my extreme pleasure to present Kitty Biscuits.
A seahorse and a hummingbird fell in love. Their passion constrained only by circumstance. So why is it that they cannot compromise?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not even sure if I like music. Let me explain a little bit. I know everybody says that they like this or that or the other, and I wonder sometimes if I just have a short attention span or a very high bar of irritation. I like the hits of almost everybody, but I don't like to listen to an entire album, not at all. I like some extraordinarily eclectic and weird shit. But the stuff that is really almost de rigueur that if you're into prog, you should like, I sometimes find very, should we say, inaccessible. And maybe that's the actual key behind this, is accessibility of music. For me, if I sit down and listen to music in a traditional manner, it doesn't quite go in. If it's as a background piece, it is incredibly annoying. I find I'm being torn in two directions, which is a strange thing in this modern era, as almost everything is the soundtrack to our life. And I'm in a band, which is the strangest thing. And music has been my entire life. How does this reconcile? It's an odd situation. It reconciles in me by the physical and visceral experience of singing, which I think many singers can actually relate to. When you are using your entire body, the muscles in your diaphragm, the muscles in your face to emote and channel and tune into the feeling of what you're singing about, it's such an overwhelming experience. Maybe it's simply that music is too much for me, rather than I don't like it that much. Maybe it's too emotional. I find it very hard to connect to music unless I'm actually physically moving to it, which is one reason I'm particularly happy to be in Ebb. It enables me to give free rein to my physical expression of emotions. In one sense, I'm the linchpin or the arcing point between who I consider, to be perfectly honest, the true musicians on stage and the music as it is felt in the air, as notes resonating through the molecules that are between the instruments, the amplifiers, and the ears of the audience. I ride those emotions and ride those molecules and express it through the movements of my body. Dancing means a lot to me. My earliest experiences with music were through a record player, as most people were of my particular generation. And I would compulsively listen to a particular album, which wasn't quite what you'd think it would be. From about the age of 7 or 8 onwards, I enjoyed the ritual of lifting up the lid, placing the needle on, seeing the speed of the record go around, that particular crackle that you hear at the beginning of an album. Everybody who is into vinyl or is into music knows this ritual and how it almost puts you into a meditative state, a mindset that renders you more susceptible to what you're about to hear. The thing is I wasn't listening to music. I was listening to sound effects. And my number one album was on one side the sound of an approaching thunderstorm. On side two, it was the thunderstorm directly overhead and then moving away. And I listened to this non-stop. It was just extraordinary for me. At the same time, we had a next-door neighbour who was a lovely old lady who had a little dog, very attractive to a young child, go around there, play with the dog. She had a piano, and she would let me play on the piano. Now, I've never learned to play the piano. Never had the urge to. But at this time, I would sit there and free form play. And I would find the feeling of the notes and the sounds would pass through my body and be almost as cleansing a ritual as listening to the thunderstorm. Very difficult thing to express, very difficult thing to explain, but I can very much acutely remember the sensation of being full and then being empty and utterly calm at the natural cessation of the piece of music that I was making. And I do dearly wish that someone somewhere had recorded me as a child making this music. The only instrument I learned to play after that was the accordion, because I wanted to be different. I didn't really need to be different, I already was.
Unending, never seen, drives us mad and killing time. We live to leave our lives behind.
When I fast-forwarded a little bit through my childhood, going to, you know, the sort of early teenage years, I did, like most teenagers, spend an awful lot of time in the local record store. The difference being, I'd stand there, flick through album after album after album. Oh, and this was in the time when you could go and take the album and go and listen to it in a private booth or just put headphones on or something. I'd spend hours and hours looking at these albums, and I never played a single one. My whole interest was in the artwork. And of course, once things changed from vinyl to CDs, reducing down in that size, not having that beautiful experience of opening it up and seeing what's on the inside sleeve or what other extras they added. For me, even though I wasn't into the music, it took away from the experience. Again, a strange thing, how an album, a vinyl album, is a holistic thing. But to go back to music, the next thing that happened to me was learning to sing at school. I was torn, completely torn between science and the arts. So at the end of the day, I ended up doing chemistry, physics, biology, and music. And I had a soprano voice, and I very much enjoyed, once again, it was a physical expression. This thing would flow through me. And there's a direct arc between that inhabiting the moment, inhabiting the emotion that singing is, from my teenage years, coming all the way forward in time to this moment now, and how I contribute to Ebb and to the writing process and my particular niche as what I consider to be vocal spice. I haven't got the type of voice that anyone, I think, would want to listen to for a whole album. I sure as hell wouldn't. I'm a bit odd. It's a bit weird. It's a bit too much. But as spice, as an additional little thing to just go here and there, it's bang on. And it really, really works. So I have my niche within the band. So between being the physical conductress or expression of the music as it happens, riding the waves of the beauty and the emotions that everybody else pulls together in the band, and adding my emotion, I sit very comfortably in a band that I love to bits, and I respect every member of it just hugely. So to return to the record store and me looking at the album covers, God, art drove me crazy. It was wonderful. I did eventually end up listening to a particular album, which was the Tarkus album, which was a damn strange thing, I think, for a girl of like 12, 13 or whatever I was. And it was directly through that album that I connected with Nikki, the keyboard player. For me, eventually, I don't even know where I heard it, but eventually I got talking to her in a music store and was speaking about this because we were having the conversation about music, what one liked, what one didn't. That particular album was a soundscape. I was able to relate to the music in a visual sense. And again, if it wasn't playing in the background, I find it hard to inhabit the moment and express what it made me feel and what it made me think. But my whole being had been the either physical expression of sound, not the hearing of it. What I'm trying to say is that it was coming out of me, not going into me. or the visual emotion of artwork, which again is something that was going into me through my eyes. This was a piece of music which was finally something that was going into me through my ears. And in many ways, without being insulting, there's something almost quite immature about it in the emotive sense. It's very, very much it's a battle. It's a big sweeping emotions. And maybe that's why it opened the door to me to be able to start connecting to things without dancing and without moving. Also, I found the album cover fascinating. It just made me laugh, and I just thought it was absolute madness. I loved it to bits. I have a great deal of respect and love for each and every band member. The fact that I live with them all and have done for many years is, of course, massively conducive both to our friendship and to the writing and musical process, which I won't cover too much because I'm fairly certain that the other band members will have done so. But it endlessly fascinates me how each band member is such an acute individual with an incredible eclectic back catalogue of tastes that they then distill, bring through their own skill and contribute into the music that then becomes Ebb. As the music weaves and changes and each person within Ebb brings something to a particular song, when we're on stage, I find myself attracted and drawn to each person, what they're doing. But of course, when I'm on stage, I have to be particularly careful not to go too crazy near them and distract them. And poor old Nick is terribly, terribly susceptible to me. So I try and stand a little bit back from her, but every so often I just have to go over and cuttlefish at her keyboard and tease her a little bit. But she's a dear, dear creature and I love her to bits, and it does make me laugh terribly. I try not to get bubbles on her keyboard. There is a line that has to be drawn. Bubbles and electrical equipment. It's not a good combination. When I read the recent article that came out on us in Prog magazine, which was lovely, absolutely lovely, there was a section in there where Anna had said something about me, where she said that I was the only one in Ebb that rehearsed my moves. And I read this and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I don't know what she's actually talking about. And then we were rehearsing today and I realised, oh, I get it. From somebody else's perspective, in a way, because I'm moving all the time and dancing, even when we're rehearsing, to an extent that's rehearsing one's moves, isn't it? Where it's actually, I'm still, every time we're playing a song, I'm trying to slide as deep as possible into the music as it's happening. And it's necessary for me to move to do that. But it really just made me giggle because it made me feel like I was some kind of, I don't know, step once to the left, step once to the right, arm up at this point. Whereas I do end up doing almost the same thing, very much, very much so, because the music is the same. We rehearse a lot. If I wasn't moving while we were rehearsing, I think I would possibly be too distracted. Whereas if I move, I'm entirely in the moment and I'm able to then contribute vocally because I'm in the song. It's the only way I can do it. I don't think I could be a drummer, but then again, they're moving themselves, so maybe this is just a different expression of how each instrument and the creative process plays out. I ponder these things. I'm mad as a box of frogs. Now, I'm not entirely sure about this, and I do know that the definition of not being mad is that you question your own sanity. I think I'm incredibly sane, but I do think I have a, shall we say, eccentric approach to almost everything. Nikki calls me high maintenance, but I'm actually very, very easy indeed, and very simple. I know that very often people think that if I'm on stage, being the way I am, that I'm high or completely drunk or off my face or whatever. But it isn't. I'm actually like that all the time, which is quite funny. I have a lot of fun and I'm having more and more fun with the costumes that I wear. My natural tendency is somewhat towards the gothic. So the ability to get some colour in there using lights is really, really, really exciting and fun. I'm enjoying this, finding out ways of expressing the music on another sphere. It's always been important to me the live experience hits an audience on as many levels as possible. The first level is the music. The second level is our interaction between each other as band members and how that creates a dynamic, a group mind, which can then be thrown as a ball of energy, if you like, towards the audience who eat it, take it in and throw it back to us. And every performer knows that there is a feedback system between the artist on the stage and the audience. You can have a night where it's the most extraordinary flow and you're almost one creature. And my part in that is to give the dance, the visuals, and some, I hope, an almost doorway into an otherworldly place. What do I mean by that? I think back on what I've heard about great musical experiences of the 70s, when prog was truly the Tyrannosaurus Rex that strode the world. You would go to a gig and you would remember that gig as being a pivotal point, a nodal point in your own life, and things would circle round it and you'd remember it forever, and that's why you had the T-shirt, and that's why when you got out the record and put it on, it was a moment in a string of pearls going back in time that was magical. And I do sometimes feel that because modern music is so ultra accessible and constantly available, that maybe we have lost somewhat the impact of a live concert. I'm sure there's many that would disagree with me, and I'm probably completely wrong. But I know the people that speak of the 70s, they say that there was something special, that when there would be something like a happening where there was more than just the music, it was an entire moment. It was a beautiful thing. And I want our music and our live events, our live gigs, to be something that gut punches someone and they feel part of something really, truly special. I try not to put my playlist on in the van when we're on tour. Or if I do, there has to be an executive. It's okay to skip this. This one's crazy. It's all right. My taste is really, really wide-ranging. I like things like The Planet Suite by Holst. I find each of those to be the most exquisitely put together painting. Again, it comes to me in a visual form. It's not the type of music to move to, although I can and I have done so. Philip Glass, his violin concerto, it's absolutely mind-blowing. There's a woman who I was very, very much into in my teenage years and still am, but she's not somebody that you put on in the background. Her name's Diamanda Galas, and she is a professional opera singer with an extraordinary range, extraordinary power, but she's also very much a political activist and a performance artist. And in the 80s, she was on the cutting edge of the ACT UP HIV awareness campaigns. And some of her stuff that she used to do was she innovated the use of using two microphones at the same time and developing a feedback dissonance between the vocals that she was expressing. And also singing in a form of glossolalia, which is extraordinarily emotive. I didn't realise until I found out about this retrospectively that the lady called Liz Fraser, who was from the Cocteau Twins, used the same technique that I came across and use myself. So there's nothing new under the sun, is there ever at all? What she'd always done was to sing the emotions that were required by the piece of music and then, if necessary, fit words to it. And that's what I do. For me, it definitely is the way forward. Particularly, we've got the song Cost and Consequence, where I have a section in the middle there. We played the song, I knew what the song was about, and I decided that I had to emote these particular feelings and not to worry about the words. The words would come later, but the rhythmic structure and the feel of each note and the way it passed through my body was the thing that was important. And it's one of the most satisfying things to sing that I think I do, that and another piece that we have, which is called So Great a Lover.
Spend my days so proudly in the splendors of love's grace.
So Great a Lover is relevant because it's specifically one of the things that I bring to Ebb, which is the use of poetry. And I have got a few of my own poems in there, just excerpts, not long ones. I'm not so vain as to memorise my own poetry, but I do memorise a lot of other people's poetry, specifically the stuff that moves me. So if there's a poem that moves my heart, moves my soul, I try and somehow bring its influence in into what we do. So Great a Lover is from a particular extraordinary poem, and we made that into a song. Here and there I do spoken word pieces, where I've taken poetry which I feel is relevant to the song that we're singing and echoes the feeling somehow. And there's a lot of different stuff there. There's some stuff that I couldn't actually use. There's a woman called Edna St. Vincent Millay who so emotionally undoes me that if I was to quote her, I don't think I'd be able to continue in a gig. I'd be such a gibbering wreck. So I have to hit the right level of finding the poems that move me and that match and bringing them in. And I very, very much enjoy that. I think it's, a different type of spice. Erin's songwriting is so deeply from the heart and so thoroughly expresses her emotions and experiences that very often when I combine what I'm adding to it, my own emotions, with her layer of emotions, very often on stage I end up crying, which, as anybody that sings knows, is damned awkward, because if you cry, your throat tends to constrict up and it's harder to sing and your body tenses. So I have mastered the art of relaxing my body, being able to sing, and just letting the tears pour down my face. The solution to this is to wear waterproof makeup, and then it's not a problem. And then again, it becomes almost a meditative moment, a Zen Buddhist thing. I think they've got something about you let a moment pass through you and over and around you, and you inhabit the feeling, you inhabit the sensation. That's what being on stage is like. And I talk about being on stage a lot because I think there are several points in the making of music that are important. One, there's the urge to make it in the first place. I'm not sure how much of that urge I have, but within the group mind of our band and the group mind of our community, I massively, very much want to be a part of that. I think many people are more comfortable with a question and answer interview situation. I definitely am. I've never done something where I've simply spoken about myself and my perspectives on music and being in the band Ebb and musical experiences and so forth. In many ways, it feels monstrously self-obsessed. And I'm not a self-obsessed person, but I think I'm definitely a Marmite person. People either like me or hate me. And that makes me a very good person to have in a prog rock band.
Ooh, and shine now. Could this be forever? Are we the only ones to both wander in the day and in the night? The cost and consequence, so pertinent to some, are the winds on which we all
see.